Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Said in John chapter 14, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate," somebody say advocate, "but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," time out, stop right there. Before we go any further with the text, I got a couple things I want to do with this little bit. "All this I've spoken to you while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send." First thing I want to do with that right there is I want to allude to something that smart theological people have learned from things like this. How many of you have heard of this concept of the Trinity? Anybody? Raise your hand loudly. Louder, please. Raise your hand louder. There it is, right? What are the three parts of the Trinity? Say it. Yeah. Now, did you know that there's nowhere in the Bible where it says God is three parts, one being? It doesn't say that exactly. However, it's parts like this right here where the Son is speaking of the Spirit who he says is himself, and he says the Father will send that Spirit right here. These type of passages is where theological thinkers hundreds of years ago came up with our theological notion of the Trinity. Right here, if you have a beard, scratch it and go, If you don't have a beard, find somebody who does and scratch their beard. Actually, don't do that. Actually, last night we had somebody do that. Hey, leave Bobby's beard alone. You got your own nice beard. That's where things like the Trinity come from. Right here in one short little phrase, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all evidenced right here as being an aspect of God himself. That's one thing. The second thing might take us a little bit more time to get at this text where it says, "All this I have spoken while with you, but the advocate," somebody say advocate, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," stop right there. Here's the deal. Microsoft wanted to know how many times their employees needed to hear a thing before they knew a thing. Microsoft wanted to know how many times their employees needed to hear a thing to know a thing, because you know there's a difference between hearing and knowing, right? Right? I mean, if you have children, you know that they can hear without know, right? And if you have parents and you're in high school, you know that they can hear you, but sometimes they just don't know what you're talking about, right, youngsters? Amen? Microsoft discovered, depending on the technicality of the thing being shared, if it's really technical, it's going to take up to 20 times for somebody to hear it before they know it. 20 times. But if it's kind of straightforward and simple without a lot of technical jargon, Microsoft discovered that people need to hear a thing, a simple thing, 6 times in order for them to hear it. So, in the spirit of Bill Gates, we are going to do some reviewing, because today's text hits on the same thing that we looked at a little bit last week, but really hits on the thing that we looked at 2 weeks ago. How many of you remember what I spoke on 2 weeks ago? All right. Thus we review. And we know that last week, I'm not making this up, there were 200 more people in church than the week before. Therefore, we know, and it happens, it's up and down here, right? That is to say that some of you weren't even here 2 weeks ago. So some of you who have photographic memories and remember every single thing I talked on 2 weeks ago, you have my permission to take a nap. However, if I see you napping, I'm going to call on you to come up here and finish the teaching, all right? For the rest of you, we're going to do some reviewing. Do you understand? The advocate, say advocate. Does anybody remember that ancient Greek word that's translated as advocate? But before we go there, I want to review. How much Greek do I know? No. Say it loudly. No. If you're sitting next to somebody you invited, just say, he's not as smart as he pretends. Go ahead, tell them that, right? I know no Greek. I took Greek in seminary. I did very well, the class that we had, and I said to my buddy Mike, I said, Mike, I'm going to take a couple weeks off because that was a grueling, intense bit of study. I took 2 weeks off, having been the number 2 person in the entire class. Unfortunately, my trash-talking buddy Mike was number 1, and I still hear it today when I talk to him. I said, I'm going to take 2 weeks off. By the time I went back to Greek 2 weeks later, I had forgotten every single thing I know, and I decided that's good enough for me. I'm good. Because although I know no Greek, how much Google do I know? You too can know Google. A couple weeks ago, I told you what the ancient Greek word that was behind the word advocate. Does anybody remember the word paraclete? What is it? Well done. Good memory, everybody. The word that's translated as advocate is paraclete. And we're going to review. So if you were here ago, I hope this jogs your memory. If you weren't here, where were you? The word paraclete, according to Google, is the one who answers the call. Repeat after me, the one who answers the call. This is the meaning of the word paraclete, which is advocate. And a couple weeks ago, I bragged about my wife, didn't I? What did I brag about my wife on? She's a great sleeper. She's in the nursery today watching over the kids, so make sure if you see her, just pat her on the back and say congratulations on being a good sleeper. I told you a couple weeks ago, if you were here, and if you weren't here, I'll tell you right now, that this woman, I'm telling you, when 7 o'clock hits the clock at night, she can be running full speed ahead, but the moment she sits down, she's gone. And I told you a couple weeks ago that I've been doing projects in our bedroom with like a skill saw and a jackhammer really loud, and she sleeps through it all. The woman is gifted. That might not be true. But what is true is as she falls asleep, you know, I want to watch the game at night or something. I say, honey, do you mind if I watch the game, or do you want me to put the headphones on or what? She's like, oh, no. And the game can be loud, and it doesn't even wake her up. And do you remember I told you that my dog, Barkley, is scared of thunderstorms? Remember that? In the middle of a thunderstorm, he'll come up and right in my ear the whole night long, and Christy does not budge because she's a gifted sleeper. Make sure you affirm her and say, Christy, well done. However, our 5 kids, who are now big and, you know, a couple of them are grown and some of them are growing, they're all big and they can take care of themselves. You know what? These kids who are now able to take care of themselves, they once were babies. It's amazing. And when they were babies, they could be like 2 floors away from where we're at. And this woman who could sleep through a skill saw and a jackhammer, when one of the little kids makes a little whimper, she would sit up. And there was nothing that could keep her asleep or keep her from answering the call of a child in the crib, because mama is a paraclete, the one who answers the call for the baby. And you might remember a few weeks ago, I was like, you know, as the kids were getting older, you know, like maybe 6-7 months, I'm like, honey, you can let these kids sleep through. They'll work it out. They'll be fine in the morning. And what do you think Christy said? She just looked at me like I was crazy and sprinted out of the room, because a paraclete is someone who answers a call, and the image of the word paraclete is of a mother who hears the whimpering child in the crib and can do nothing but answer the call of the baby. The paraclete is the one who answers the call, and Jesus says, the Father will send in my name to you the paraclete. You have a mother who's going to answer your call the moment you have a need, and his name is the Holy Spirit. Are you tracking with me? I also shared a few weeks ago, by way of review, that the word paraclete was used specifically in the athletic arena. Do you remember what arena it was? Anybody remember? Marathon runners at the end of the early Olympics, at the end of the race, that last leg. Has anybody ever run a marathon? Yeah, I know some of you have, right? You get tired, right? I mean, repeat after me, duh. Right? I've run a couple of them, and at the end, man, you're just tired. In the early Olympics, they had someone whose title was actually the paraclete. When the marathoner was running the last leg and was getting tired, the paraclete would jump on the course and run side by side with the marathoner, fresh because they haven't run the whole race, and the entire last leg, they'd be like, you got this, come on, let's go. They would encourage them. The paraclete's job was to encourage the runner who was just weary with the race, and the paraclete enabled the person to finish the race. Sometimes life is like a long, tiring race, isn't it? And the paraclete has been given. I was talking to my friend Will, who was here last night. It was a number of years ago, he and I ran the Riverbank Run. I don't know how far that is, 25K, I think. And he and I are both former college athletes, therefore we were really, really fast running this race. Do you believe that? That's hurtful. No, we're really slow. We didn't get into that race to win it. We got in it to just enjoy it and to go really slow, and we were slow. In fact, to call it a running a race might have been a little bit of an exaggeration. We kind of were just plodding our way through, and Will and I would just kind of be plodding our way through, but I noticed something at every water station. At every water station as you're running this race, there's a ton of people around there, people who don't even know you, but they come not only to serve you water, and they hold up signs, and they cheer really loudly, and the first time we approached one of these water stations, you know, Will and I are just kind of putzing along, and all of a sudden I realize I'm well behind Will, because Will started like sprinting And so I had to sprint to catch up to him. He grabbed his water. We left the water station behind, and he slows down again. And I'm like, well, that's weird. We get to the next water station, and the same thing. Will just takes off again. I'm like, well, what are you doing? He goes, I can't help myself when people cheer. I just got to run. The paraclete has been given you to encourage you in the race known as the life. The paraclete is the one who enters the life of the lost, the least, the lonely. Let me stop right there. At the River, we have two values. The first and foremost is intimacy, where you and Jesus, I mean, he's called you to be in close proximity with you. God didn't create the world, go to the cross, come out of the tomb so that we could be at a distance wondering what he thinks of us. God wants to be in close proximity with you. The answer is me. Who does God want to be close with? Absolutely. Our second value after intimacy with Jesus is mercy, where we're called to serve the lost, the least, and the lonely. Guess what, y'all, at one point in your time have been, are, or will be part of the lost, the least, and the lonely. This isn't a delineation of the others, it's a delineation of us. And if we happen to find ourselves not right now as part of the lost, the least, and the lonely, then we're to be about the work of the one who loves the lost, the least, and the lonely. Whew, sorry, got carried away there. The paraclete is the one who enters into the life of the lost, the least, and the lonely. And with the work of the paraclete in the life of the lost, the least, and the lonely, the lost, the least, the lonely become the found, the fulfilled, and the friended. Paraclete. Turn to your neighbor and say, paraclete. Turn to your other neighbor and say, not parakeet. To the text. The advocate, the paraclete, will teach you and remind you of everything I have said to you. Somebody said, thank God for that. Have you ever forgot something? Yeah. Have you ever said to yourself, man, I remember something about that. What was that thing? The paraclete's the one who's going to remind you and teach you. In fact, the Apostle Paul would call the paraclete the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The one that Jesus is giving to us right here in John chapter 14 is known as the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let me just tell you something about you. You're not as smart as you might think you are. Y'all need some wisdom and y'all need some revelation. Am I right? So because you need wisdom and revelation, as do I, that's good news to you. Do you find that to be good news? So in the words of Father Brennan Manning, if you find that to be good news, in the words of Father Brennan Manning, tell your face and smile. Because those of us who are forgetful, those of us who need wisdom, those of us who need revelation, the Spirit brings it. You know, Jesus' half-brother James would say in the first chapter, the fifth verse, if any of you lacks wisdom, he could have just said, hey, everybody, if any of you lacks wisdom, all you need to do is ask. And God, who gives generously and ungrudgingly, will give you that wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Or Jesus himself would say in the book of Matthew, when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. Friends, you don't need to stress about how to share your faith with your unfaithed friend, because the spirit of wisdom and revelation will tell you what to say. For it won't be you speaking, but the spirit of your Father speaking through you. Has anybody ever stressed about having a faith talk with somebody? Three of you. Well, for you three, the Spirit will bring you to the words to say. And then even going back to the Old Testament, through the prophet Ezekiel, the Father would say, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The Spirit makes obedience possible. 6 to 20 is what Microsoft discovered a person needs to hear in order to know. So whatever the middle of 6 to 20 is, I believe it's somewhere around 13. We're going to repeat for the second time something we heard 2 weeks ago yet again. Number two. Second repeat, to help you learn. Y'all with me? Through the Spirit, the divine parenting continues. Now, I can't remember if I did this last Sunday morning. I know I did it the last two Saturday nights. When I pointed at you, did you have to say something last week? It was us last night. But did I do that on last Sunday morning? Okay, let's try that again. Okay, obviously I didn't do it last week. When I point at you, your participation for your sake is via the Spirit. All right, here we go. I'm going to get worked up a little bit. Are you all ready to get worked up with me? Stretch it out a little bit, because I'm going to remind you of some good things that I told you a couple weeks ago. It's always good to be reminded of good things, because good things are good to hear multiple times, and it's good to know good things. The divine parenting continues. The care from God to you continues. The direction continues. The comfort continues. The correction continues. Now, here's the deal. Last night, there was, how many people? 89 people in the building, I believe. A lot less than you. They were louder than you. Just going to tell you right now, I'm going to them next Saturday night saying, y'all are much louder than the 300-400 people that were here on Sunday morning. Maybe y'all tired. You guys ready to participate? There's a few more things I want you to know that via the Spirit, things are happening. Are you ready to get a little louder? Now, if you're a guest here, this is just part of the weirdness at the River. Because I know that when you participate, you remember more. Do you understand? And so, I was telling you that the comfort continues. I was telling you that the correction continues. The love of God continues. The insight continues. Oh, get this. The tough love continues. And the gentle love continues. You are not alone. You are not abandoned. The author of Hebrews would say this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm telling you, friends, the paraclete is here for you. The paraclete. We talked about the paraclete bringing an answer to you when you're in the midst of a discussion. Have you ever had that experience before? Or something just come to you and you're like, why did that come to me? I mean, let me tell you a story. I was driving to Meijer a while back, and while driving, I began thinking of a person I hadn't seen in probably a year. And as I'm driving to Meijer, I totally had this image of this person in my head, and I'm like, what's that person's name? Do you ever forget names from people, anybody? Yeah. You know, I was out there greeting with Barkley a while back, and somebody came up to me and said, hi, you remember me? Truthfully, I did. I just wanted to test them. I had no idea who this person was. And they were offended. And they were hurt that I didn't remember the name. And they went on to say, yeah, I was here six years ago, two times, and I met you. But everybody has a heart that longs to be known. And even though it was a little silly 6 years ago, twice, that person wanted to be known by name. And so I'm driving to Myers, and this person comes to mind, and I'm like, man, what's that person's name? And I couldn't for the life of me remember the name. So I spent like 10 minutes driving to Meijer trying to think of that person's name. What is that person's name? What is that person's name? And I remember learning back in biology, because when you try to remember something, keep trying, because when you actually remember that thing that you can't remember, you actually create a little synapse in your brain that makes your brain stronger. And so I'm trying to get my brain to work, and I'm like, what's that person's name? I get out of the car, and as soon as I stand up out of my Jeep, Tom. It was Tom. Tom's the name. Why was I thinking of Tom? I hadn't thought of Tom in a year. I hadn't seen Tom forever. So I go into Meijer, and I walk in the door, and take a guess who I saw. No, I saw Bill. No, of course, it was Tom. Tom was right there, and I'm like, Tom! How you doing, Tom? And Tom went like this. And when I said his name, he stood up a little taller, and his face lit up, because it's good to be known by name. The paraclete will direct you. The paraclete will bring peace and comfort. Anxiety, comfort. Which one is better? Say it like you mean it. Which one is better? Comfort. Which one do you think I lean into more often? Anxiety. I remember one time, this was before Jake was born. Jake's almost 22. He's our oldest son. Christy and I were taking Barkley's predecessor on a backpacking trip somewhere out in Vermont or Maine. I don't even remember where it was. But if you backpack, you know, you put, it's called backpacking because on your back you have a pack, and it's called backpacking, and you leave everything you know, and you just take it with you into the woods for a week or so, and you love it, right, Katie? You had some great experiences back in your college days backpacking. She didn't. I'll tell you those stories later. When she's not here, she'd be embarrassed. But anyway, when you're in the middle of nowhere, I mean, it's just you, nature, and whoever you brought with you. So we brought Barkley's predecessor. His name was Fred. Big 180-pound Newfoundland, just like Barkley, a little bigger than Barkley even. And, you know, okay, I'm going to take a time out because you need to know this. When you have a tight relationship with a dog, not a cat, but a dog, you get a glimpse of what it was back in Eden. Right before Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve bit the apple and got booted from the garden, Adam and Eve, man, they were chilling with animals. They were like friends with the animals, right? And we know in Revelation it talks about the end of it all. Jesus will restore heaven and earth. And so I think heaven's going to be like Eden restored. We'll be naked and happy and hanging out with animals. Not cats, but animals. And so I know that this is where some of you don't get it. You non-animal people, I don't know what's the matter with you, but I'll pray for you. But if you have an animal friend, not a cat, but an animal friend that's a real animal, man, you get a taste for what it was like back in Eden, and you get a taste for what heaven will be like. Are you tracking with me? Even cat people, I'm kidding, right? So this is how I view my dogs. They're not dogs. They're kind of friends. I told a friend once at a church I used to work at that one of my closest friends was Fred. And he looked at me like, are you kidding? What about me? I'm like, dude, I see you once a week. I see him every day. So Fred, Christy, and I were in the middle of nowhere in the woods. And Fred is just staying by us as he does. And he just is hanging out. And I sat down by the river. And I noticed I haven't seen Fred for a little bit. Now, again, this is just extra insight and helpful. When I became a dog owner, I realized that I wanted my dog to stay by me and to come when I call, because that's nice. Isn't it annoying when your dog runs away? So I trained every dog I've had to come to me when I go, I mean, they'll just come on over, and I'm like, that's good, just checking where you are. So also, this is free, this has nothing to do with the sermon. When I had children, I'm like, you know what, that was kind of nice to get the dog to come when I, and I'm not kidding, you can check with my kids. You know, when you're at the zoo, we were with my brother's kids, and they're running all over, and he's freaking out, and I was like, and every one of my kids have been trained at least to make eye contact so I know where they're at. That's helpful for you parents. Back to the sermon story. No Fred. No Fred. And so I got up and I started whistling and I started yelling and I couldn't find Fred anywhere. And if you have a close relationship with the dog, you begin to understand that I began to get frantic because my friend Fred was gone. And again, we're like 2 days walk from the car at anything civilization. So I said, Christy, we got to find this dog. We got to find Fred. And so we're looking all over. We're screaming his name and no Fred. So after about an hour of this, I said to Christy, I said, honey, you got to go back to the ranger station. It's a 2-day walk by yourself back in the woods. I wasn't thinking straight. I said, but you got to go. You got to leave your pack here and run back to the car. I wasn't thinking straight. And I'm going to spend the time looking for the dog because we can't find Fred. And I began to get weepy. And my wife had never in her life seen me weep, right? But I'm crying over a lost dog. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Who's laughing? Security. I'm literally freaking out and frantic because Fred, my friend, is lost. And all of a sudden, I felt the Spirit of the Lord. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. The Spirit of the Lord said, just sit down. So I sat down. And the Spirit said, why don't you sing a little bit? So I began to sing through the tears and the snot. You've been there? Songs unto the Lord. And I'm not making this up. I felt the presence descend upon me. And the presence said, all will be well. And I began to argue with that spirit. How can it be well? Fred's gone. I want my dog back. We're going to have to go back to Michigan, and we're never going to see a dog. And the spirit said, all will be well. And as I began to wrestle with the inner turmoil, that peace that passes understanding, Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul calls it the peace that passes understanding. There's a peace that comes from the presence of the Paraclete that passes any circumstantial situation. And I began to sing and I began to pray, and lo and behold, I actually began to feel relaxed and peaceful, because the Paraclete is like the mother who goes to the child who's crying out in the crib. And before long, you know what I heard? It's a theme with Newfoundlands. And here comes Fred running down with his tail up in the air, as happy as could be. And I'm like, Fred, where you been? And soon after Fred came down the trail, a family of a mom and a dad and three kids who were camping about an hour behind us decided to hike up to the top of the mountain. When they walked by us, Fred saw them and said, "Hey, people, I'm friendly." They thought a bear was chasing them. And so they were running up the hill as fast as they can to get away from this bear. And then they realized this bear had a waggy tail. And they said, "Oh, it's a dog. And look, his name is Fred. It says on his name tag." So they began to pleasantly walk up the hill with my dog feeding him summer sausage the entire way. Fred had the day of his life. I had the worst day of my life. And when I thought nothing could fix this horrible situation, the Paraclete came in and said, "I got it. It's going to be okay." Sometimes life is a lot worse than a lost dog. And you know that. The Paraclete has been given to bring you peace when it seems like peace is the furthest thing from ever happening. I want to know this Paraclete, do you? I told you a couple weeks ago that in the churches I grew up in, you know, they kind of talked about the Trinity, but they said the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so as I've grown into my adulthood, I've said, I want to pursue the Spirit. So pastor types like myself, we get this thing called continuing education. It's a small budget to go get smarter so that you don't have a dumb pastor in front of you. Shh, no comments negatively. And so for years, I've spent my continuing education going to conferences in groups, charismatic groups, where the Spirit of God has been something they've been walking with for years. Because in my tribe, in my situation, the Spirit of God, yeah, they kind of give lip service to it, but they don't understand the Spirit. And so I'm going outside this little circle that I live in so that I can learn about the Spirit, because I want you to learn about the Spirit, because it's nice when you're a baby stuck in the crib to know that the Paraclete will come to you the moment you cry out. Amen? Oh, here's this word. We've already alluded to it. Jesus says, continuing in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you." Somebody say amen to that. Amen. If that's good news, again, to quote Father Brendan Manning, tell your face. "Peace I leave with you," Jesus says. "My peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid." I read this week. When Christ was about to leave planet Earth, we're in John chapter 14. It's going to take us another 10 years to get through John. But for Jesus, this part right here is just a few more days, right? Just a few more days before Jesus was done. He got through his life a lot quicker than we're getting through his life. Amen? When he said, "Peace I leave with you," it jogs this. He's about ready to go to his death. And so what he did is he put together his last will and testament, right? He got his will together. Do y'all have your will together, by the way? I don't care if you do or not. But Jesus had his will. And so what he did in his will is he gave to the Father his soul. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." To his body? His body? Do you know who he gave his body to at the end of it all? Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph got the body. Joseph's the dude who buried Jesus. His clothes, Jesus left to the who? Who got Jesus' clothes? Anybody? The soldiers. He knew all this was going to happen. His mom, he left his best friend and buddy John. And the gift of sonship. These are the things he gave to those. But what did Jesus leave to his disciples? What did he leave to the ones who left everything to follow him? Did he leave them silver? Did he leave them gold? Did he leave them his American Express card? He left them peace. Maybe the most important thing that he bequeathed on the cross was the peace that he speaks of right here. Peace, I give to you, my peace. And it's not just peace. It's not like pot-smoking, long-haired hippies with bell-bottoms peace. Nothing wrong with that if that's your thing. Actually, there might be something wrong with that. But it's not that kind of peace. Jesus says it's not the peace that the world gives. It's my peace. There's a peace that Jesus gives. There's a peace that passes understanding that's different than the world. You see, the world that Jesus lived in was governed and ruled by the Romans. And the Romans declared themselves to be a people of peace. But their peace came through conquest and success and victory. And you either submitted or you got your head chopped off or hung on a cross. There's a peace that the world offered that was different than the peace Jesus offered. And I think that's still true today. There's a peace that our world offers that's different than this peace. You know, with fall coming back in and football kicking back in, there's a few things that are just reliable. Michigan's going to stink again under Harbaugh. God bless his soul. The Lions are going to lose most of the time, and you're going to be inundated with commercials. You know, I don't watch a lot of TV in the summer, but come football and basketball season, I watch a lot of TV. And the beauty is I DVR most games because I can skip commercials. And if I don't skip commercials, you know what I learn? I learned that my life sucks. Because I don't have this. And I don't do that. And do you know how many male pattern baldness recipes there are to cure this? You know, there are on sporting event TV show? A lot. See, the world says, we have peace to give you, but you got to do this, act this way, perform this way, succeed this way. And if you don't do these things, there ain't no peace for you. But Jesus says, nah. I'm going to give you a peace that passes understanding. It's my peace. It's a free gift. All you got to do is lean in and receive. There's a peace that passes understanding. You see, there's a peace that's bigger than circumstance. Let us review yet again. How much Greek do I know? How much Google do I know? Therefore, how much Greek can you know? As much as I do. The word peace here comes from the ancient word, I can't even pronounce it, irene. Say irene? Never mind. That's what it comes from. And if you were to Google what the word peace in Greek meant, you would discover that it comes from Strong's Concordance, and it's Strong's Concordance, word 1,515, if you care. And if you don't care, it's still Strong's 1,515. That's what word it is. Put that down. You need to note that. And if you were to look up in Strong Concordance, word 1,515, this word that we have translated peace, it has a broader meaning that means to join or to tie together things that once were broken into a whole. Peace. Wholeness. Essential parts being joined together. Peace. It's the gift of wholeness Jesus is offering. Together. It's exemption from bad things, rage and havoc, but it's more so the presence of good things. Literally, according to my research, the picture is the binding or joining together again of that which has been separated or broken. I've told the story so many times, but it's one of those that we will share regularly here at the River because it's just a good story. I was a sophomore in high school. Are there any sophomores in high school in here? You're a liar. You're a freshman. When I was a sophomore in high school, I was playing high school football, I was playing safety, and the quarterback on the other team fumbled the ball. You know the story, some of you. How many of you have heard this story? Oh, be prepared to be delighted yet again. Those of you who don't know it, be prepared to be disgusted. The ball was fumbled right here, and I put my hand across my body on the ball, and a rather rotund young man dove on the ball and my arm snapped in half, and I swear to goodness, I thought a shotgun had gone off right by my ear. Pow! So I stood up, and my arm right here was dangling straight down. And I knew intuitively something was wrong. So I grabbed my hand. See, you still like the story, even though you've heard it before. So I began running to the sideline, and my arm right in the middle, I remember this like it was just, it was bouncing up in the middle. It was horrible. I got to the sideline. I don't know if I've ever told this story. The head coach looked at my arm and almost fainted, and he left. One of the assistant coaches came over and he grabbed a clipboard to splint my arm, and we put my hand on the clipboard. And this part was lined with the clipboard, but this part of the hand was over here twisted, turned around, and it was horrible. And I honestly had the thought, oh my gosh, they're going to have to chop my arm off. I mean, it was, I had no concept of how they were going to fix this arm. Spoiler alert, they didn't. And you know the story. The coach said, hey, do you want to sit down? I'm like, no! Yes! And over the PA system, they said, if there's any medical people in the stands, please come down to the visiting team's bench. We have a medical emergency. And so there was one medical person, one nurse in the stands, and that nurse came down, and unbeknownst to me, can I just be real? I was swearing like a sailor. That's not true. I was swearing like three sailors. Man, I was throwing F-bombs like there was no tomorrow, as if I'd been doing this every day of my life, which I hadn't done it every day of my life as a sophomore, but, you know, a few days. I am throwing out F-bomb after F-bomb, screaming, and I look up, and the one medical person who came down, those of you who know the story, who was that one person? It was my mom. She had never heard me say anything harder than shoot before. And I'm not making this up. My arm is dangling. It's broken. I don't know how they're going to fix it. I think my arm's going to get chopped. And the first thing I said when I saw my mom, who was looking at me like this, because she was stunned to hear her precious little Robbie use such language, I said, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And my mom looked at me, looked at my arm, her mouth shut, and she came over and said, honey, it's okay. And she continued to splint my arm. And they took me to the doctor. The doctor cut me open, and he put a couple pins in there, long plates with a bunch of screws. And it wasn't a month or two later that hand that I thought there's no way it would ever be used again. It was too broken. It's just discardable. There's no way it's going to get fixed. That thing which was unfixable was totally function again, and actually was the stronger of the two hands that I now have. The paraclete is in the business of coming to the things that you think will never be able to be fixed and is going to fix them. And before you know it, that which was broken and unfixable is going to be the strongest thing you have in your life. The paraclete. The paraclete. Do you guys want to know this paraclete? This advocate? He comes only. The paraclete. Through the very presence of God. Now, I believe that the Bible's true. When it says two or three are gathered, the Lord is there. Hang on. One, two, three. Covered. God is in the house today. And I know some of you actually have felt something when you're in the building. You feel something like during the worship time, or you feel something when some word is spoken. You're like, oh, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God resides in everyone who has leaned into Jesus and has said yes. You can't get the Spirit, you can't get the benefits of the Spirit apart from the presence of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, maybe you simply need to surrender and say, yep, it ain't working on my own. You know what would have happened had I tried to fix my arm myself? It wouldn't have worked. Some of you have been trying to fix things on your own, it ain't going to work. You need to lean into the Spirit, because only in the presence of God comes the Spirit. According to the Message, it's a certain translation of the Bible. John 14, verse 1, we looked at this a bit ago. It says, don't let this throw you. Whatever this is, don't let it throw you. Trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. See, the Spirit, the peace that He brings, the smiles of the world can't give it to you. Nor can the frowns of the world take it away. The Spirit has something for you that is lasting. So let me give you a few benefits beyond peace that come via the Spirit. This one comes first to mind because I was driving this week. I like to drive the speed limit. Did you know this? I often get teased by my kids and others because you should drive the speed limit. Why are you driving the speed limit? Because it's, in fact, I have a friend who might be a police officer and in the building. We are driving back from a backpacking trip, and I'm driving like a mile or two over the speed limit, and this police officer said, hurry up, I want to get home. Speed limit is a good thing. I've discovered that other people behind me don't like that I drive the speed limit. I can't tell you how many times on Oakland Drive, 30 miles an hour, no passing zone, I get past driving somewhere. And they give me a little wave. The Spirit of God can take away road rage. And the Spirit of God can keep your driving finger in your pocket and bring your friendly finger out to the world. Amen? Do you know somebody who needed to hear that? Don't point at your mother. The Spirit of God can remove road rage. The Spirit of God, maybe more deeply, can enable you to forgive the wrong that was done unto you. The Spirit of God can restore a broken relationship, even though it seems like it'll never be restored. And the Spirit of God eases the troubled mind. If this is good news to anybody, you can let your face know. And the Spirit of God can prompt you to push through when everything in you says, I'm quitting. The Spirit of God can chasten the stupid. Who are you thinking of right there? Because when I say the Spirit of God can chasten the stupid, I'm really not thinking God wants you to think of that person. I'm thinking God wants you to be reminded, sometimes you're stupid too. But gently and kindly, the Spirit of God can chasten the stupid right out of you. The Spirit of God can mend the broken. The Spirit of God can empower and equip you to do the right thing, even when the right thing is the hard thing. Amen? The Spirit of God can calm the storm within your mind. And the Spirit of God can bring hope amidst the crisis. The Spirit of God brings promise amidst the darkness. The Spirit of God brings light to the lost, clarity to the confused, and direction to the wanderer. The Spirit of God enabled Jesus to say this as if it were a reality before it became a reality. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus says, and he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. The Spirit of God brings good news to the poor. Are there any poor in the house who need good news? He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to see the oppressed free. That is the mission statement of Jesus, and it all came to fruition because of the Spirit.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.